Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Share, Building a Sanctuary in the Heart. I think it is November the 9th. Yes, November the 9th. We are learning Liloy Nishmas Mirim Fron, Mirim Paschai Mitchak, Allah HaHashan, Mehir Neshama Heaven Aliyah, and the Merit of our Torah. Also, with your permission, is my husband's grandfather's Yosei de Shabbos, Shmuel Zanvel ben Yosef Baruch Allah
HaShalom. Tomorrow.
What? Rachel Imen is your site. That's right. It's Rachel Imen is your site. That's correct. So she should be zocha to. Ladies, she should be zocha to stop her eyes from crying. Mini kolich mi bechi beinayich mi dima yesh tikva la'arich la'achriseich v'shavu meretz oye v'shavu banam levul. We should be zocha to the ultimate fulfillment where Rachel stops crying. Because a cup of tears is full, and Hashem says, there's hope for the end, and they will return from the land of the enemies. Thank you for reminding us. And they will return from the land of the enemies, and they will return to their borders. And I really feel, personally, and I mentioned this in a couple of my classes, that we really see in the election not only Yad Hashem. I don't want to know your opinion or who you voted for or didn't vote for, or like me, voted for neither, because you couldn't bring yourself to choose one, but I really feel, and I'm talking to myself, that Hashem is really telling us, you're not in the right country. You're mamish in the wrong country. This is not where you belong. These people are not for you. So for, you know, many, many years, our grandfathers and forefathers did not have a choice, and they had to stay in the host country, so they were either kicked out or, Rahman al-Itzlan, murdered al-Kiddush Hashem. And my grandfather wrote in his memoirs that he came back at night from the day at work and they lay in the barracks and the pallet, and he said, whoever survives this hell will live to see Mashiach. Whoever gets out of here alive, he will see a Jewish state. So, of course, our Tzal today is not in the time of Mashiach and it's not the ultimate redemption, but we have to look, oh yeah, I'm really telling to myself, Hashem is really saying you're in the wrong place. And I said to my husband, if we think that would happen in every single host country, every single year, since the Khurban, every place we have been is not going to happen in the Medina Shel Chassad. We are not looking at reality. And I'm really mamish talking about myself, so we should be zocha to the ultimate Gula, the ultimate Mashiach. I told the kids when we left the ballot, the voting, because I didn't vote for either one, so at the bottom, either one of the boys said or I said I should have written and we're voting for Mashiach, which is really not a joke, because we really are. Okay, page 36 in the second Sefer, please. Oh, I think everyone has bookmarks. Awesome. So no confusion. Okay, so we're really talking about Kolach HaDibur, and we have come to a section of this two-part Svarim, Building Sanctuary in the Heart, that's really like Lamaisa, helpful, useful, enlightening. It all has been. But now he's really talking about Kolach HaDibur. We cannot exist without Kolach HaDibur. We can't function without Kolach HaDibur. It's an integral part of who every single human being is. And I would dare say, Bein Adam L'Chaveru, certainly, our interaction with our fellow human being depends on Kolach HaDibur. Think of two people are upset at each other. They don't talk to each other. How do they indicate being upset at each other? Either by screaming or by not speaking to each other. So the absence of Kolach HaDibur also symbolizes something. And utilizing it symbolizes something. Bein Adam L'Makom, we use Kolach HaDibur, Kol Yaakov, Hayidayim, Dayim, Esav, we use Kolach HaDibur to talk to Ribono Shel'olam. And I think that we even use Kolach HaDibur, and I didn't realize this before, but even for ourselves, Bein Adam L'Atmo. So it is really all permeating and all encompassing. Every aspect of facet of our life. I don't know, you don't talk to yourself. I talk to myself. I tell myself, even when I'm on the treadmill, for example, yesterday, very, very early morning, and I'm tired and it's dark, and I don't want to be there. I'm like, you can do it, you can do it. I really do talk to myself, and it's true, and met you too. Yeah, so that's good. Why are you making a face? Good.
Because
Make me feel better.
Don't make her feel worse.
I tap myself, I pat myself on the shoulder when it's something that's very, very hard for me to do, and I'm very proud of myself, and I'll go, okay. Oh my God, that was really hurting you, right? But you did the right thing. You didn't say a word. It was so good.
So it's good. So you're mechazek yourself.
I'm mechazek myself because
that's
I've got
good.
No one else.
So we use Kolach HaDibur in all three aspects of our avodas Hashem: Bein Adam L'Chaveru, Bein Adam L'Makom. Those are the two most obvious. But it seems to be that we also use it Bein Adam L'Atzmo as well. And the last sentence we read last time is: if we overlook it, we cannot reach Hashem. And just in my own sefer, I wrote after that, this is unbelievable, and I underlined it. So let's get to two kinds of speech. Okay. Two kinds of speech. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro, Moshe complained, I am heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. Okay. Now, something is very interesting. And Moshe actually complained, he said two different statements. One is, Kvad peh ukval loshon, I am heavy of mouth and heavy in tongue. And what else did he say? Does anyone remember what else he said by the burning bush? why he can't go?
Arel
Svatayim, yes, that relates to the physical impairment. Right? I was thinking of, you're right, he did say that, and I didn't think of that in terms of preparation, but he also said, Ki lo ish devarim anochi, gam miltmam, gam mitma, gam shilsham. Lo ish devarim anochi, I'm not a man of words. Kvad peh, kvad lashon, arel Svatayim. It indicates two different things. Okay? Kvad peh, kvad lashon indicates, or arel Svatayim, what does that indicate? Kvad peh.
Articulation?
Oh, so I was going to say physical disability. He has a problem with articulating his words. He has a physical impairment. We know the Medrash that says when he was a little boy, he stuck out his hands, he was going for the jewels, the Malach switched his hands for the claws, touched his mouth with the hot. He had a physical impairment. Someone said to me on Monday, she says, I need Ruach HaKodesh for this election. I said, we all do. So she says she thinks maybe she'll be like Moshe. She's going to be in the booth, and Hashem is just going to direct her hand to write down the right one. So Moshe was Arel Sifasayim, Kvad Pel Kvad Lashon, indicates a physical impairment. So then what is he talking about when he says, Lo Ish Devarim Anochi, I'm not a man of words, not from yesterday, not from the day before, because that indicates something else. You understand? That's two different levels of impairment. The Torah doesn't waste any words and doesn't tell superfluous things that we don't need to know. So if it says two different aspects of impairment, that means there's two different issues going on here. So the first one is a physical disability. The second one, perhaps, and you're going to see when we go through this paragraph, perhaps lo ish devarim anochi, I'm not a man of words, not gam miltmal, gam shosham, not yesterday, not today, not the day before. He's lacking the spiritual connection to produce the words. The heaviness of mouth and the speech impediment represents a physical affliction. And on the other hand, the ability to produce dvarim, words, indicates a spiritual impairment. Now, it makes sense, because until this point, Hashem never appeared to him. He didn't have his tafkid yet. He's living in Midian. He's a shepherd. So you're going to see that the Mechaber is going to say, using the proper speech, that's how we reach our soul, which we already said, I believe, last week. So Moshe was affected on two levels. The physical one is easier, in a sense, to overcome than the spiritual one. Rav, it's brought down in the Sefer of Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that someone, because he was physically impaired, he had Parkinson's disease, very severe for the last 20 years of his life, but the spiritual, he rose to the highest spiritual height. And it's true, very, very much in our day as well. A person, I'm not talking about severe, please, I'm not talking about severe physical disabilities or handicaps that tremendously limit a person's functioning, but a physical disability that can be overcome or dealt with so that the person can still function is less limiting than a spiritual disability, or which relates, of course, to an emotional disability. Again, I'm not talking about severe physical impairment that truly impairs the person's functioning. So Moshe had two issues. He had a physical issue, but he also had a spiritual issue. And they're both expressed how? In the lack of ability to produce words. By the way, which is so beautiful, because how does Sefer Devarim open? Ela Devarim Asher Dibur Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. Why is it so impactful? Because when we first meet him 40 years earlier, what does he say? Lo ish devar menochi. And we said that relates to the physical or the spiritual?
Spiritual.
What does he say after his 40-year journey, not only with Bnei Yisrael, but with Moshe Olam? Ela hadvarim asher dibur Moshe. Look, when in 180 degree, look at what a 180 degree turn this gadol dar, this leader, this rabbeinu made. He went from being a man who was not inspired, who could not produce words on a spiritual level, to a man who composed the book of Devarim, which is the most beautiful, impactful, emotional book of Torah. So now let's go back. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro, Moshe complained, I am heavy in mouth and heavy of speech, heavy of tongue. We just explained two different aspects of his disability. One was a physical impairment and one was a spiritual limitation. He had not yet encountered God. Isn't that true? If you don't encounter God, you're spiritually limited in your own life. Look at society, we're in Rechman al-Tzlan today. Society has forgotten about God. I'm not talking about Jewish, non-Jewish. They're still mediocre of the Shavim Mitzvahs B'Noach and moralities. If you don't encounter God, you're spiritually worthless. Where was he healed? So, when did his healing begin? Only at Har Sinai, when Hashem tore through all the firmaments and revealed Ein Od Mevado, there is nothing besides for him. So is he talking about the healing of, first and foremost, of a physical disability, or first and foremost of a spiritual disability? What does Torah provide a person? Physical healing or spiritual healing? Spiritual healing. Now it's true that Chazal tell us the whole nation saw and the whole nation heard. And Rashi says over there, everyone, Yishmu v'Yirun, everyone was healed.
Well,
so anybody who couldn't hear was able to.
Physically healed as well.
So that's what we're adding. On the level of Pshat, they were physically healed, which is a tremendous Baruch Hu Veicholim, which is a tremendous godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now we're having a deeper insight, and that the healing that came was a spiritual healing. And what provides spiritual healing? Torah. And it's very, very beautiful, and it's true of us and our lives as well. It's unbelievable. Ein Om Mavado, there's nothing else besides for him. The power of this Ein Om Mavado, it's a song, it's bumper stickers. I'm sure you've seen the bumper stickers, yes? No, I'll tell you what Rav Shamshar Falhirsch says on Ein Om Mavado. Any questions or comments while I'm opening this up?
Whenever I saw that in the Chumash, I always thought, I didn't realize it was spiritual, I thought he was modest. I said, oh, look how modest he is.
Say it again, please.
I thought he was modest. I thought Moshe, whenever I saw that pasuk, I didn't think it was a spiritual lack. I thought that he was just, who am I?
Right.
Like, how could I, I'm just a...
You're right. Lowly. So there is the aspect of Anivus which comes into play by the snare. And Moshe is so humble that Aaron should get the godless and I'm not great enough to speak to kings.
Right.
But the Mechaber is giving us a different insight here, which I never also, which I never encountered or considered either. The Mechaber says, as long as his soul was not uncovered through the revelation, Moshe's speech was not fully developed. So speech cannot be fully developed if the soul is not uncovered. That's what he says.
Wow.
So it's really an added dimension that, and it makes sense when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Mm-hmm. So what does Rav Shamshon Falhirsch say on Ein Od Mavado? The pasuk is, by the way, Devarim Perek Dalet pasuk Lamed Hey, Devarim 4:35. Atah Harisa Ladas, you have been made, you have been shown to know Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is Elokim. Ein Od Mavado, there is nothing besides for him. So Hirsch writes, how are you aware of God? It's not based on belief, but on knowledge. You know that there's Hashem. And knowledge is not based on a report. Why does that mean not a report? It's not something you read in the newspaper. You know, they're saying that the pollsters, I don't know who it is, but is ever in charge of the polls, like they really dropped the ball. You know, they didn't know what they were talking, but that's a report. So you read a report and you believe something. So what do you read if you read the polls before the election? You believe Hillary Rodham Clinton, or how do you pronounce her name? That she's going to win because that's what the polls say. That's knowledge based on report. But Lahavda Aleph Alfe Havdal. So Shamshar Falhirsch says, Atah HaReis LaDaski Hashem Hu Elokim. You know Hashem is Elokim. Not on belief, not just on Amuna, and not on a report, and not a conclusion drawn by your mind. Rather, your knowledge of God, listen to this next beautiful sentence, is based on the certainty of personal direct experience. So that means each person has to have a personal, direct experience in their lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam, an experience presented to the entire nation at one time. So this is related to Ma'amad Har Sinai, by the way. At Ma'amad Har Sinai, everybody was given the same experience. What does that mean? Everybody was physically healed, but what does it mean on a deeper level? Everybody was spiritually healed, and we needed that spiritual healing. We came from the 49th level of impurity. Hashem saw the time for redemption had come, and we had no mitzvos with which to get out. We didn't have one mitzvos, so Hashem gave us b'damayichai. He gave us two mitzvos of blood. What were they? Mila and Karban Pesach.
That's what you say, the bris.
Bris mila. Oh, it's, why are you saying? Because Avraham Avinu, this week's parasha.
You repeat that pasuk. At the bris, b'damayichai, b'damayichai.
Oh, we say it at a bris, okay?
Yeah.
It was one of the mitzvahs we were given in Mitzrayim in order to get us out.
Okay.
So we all needed a spiritual healing. So it's not that someone told us, and it's not that we read a report, and it's not because belief has been indoctrinated to us from the time of our youth. Rather, our knowledge of God must be based on the certainty of a personal, direct experience, which the whole nation was given a once. Of salvation, it speaks about when he learns Torah, he says he feels, or no, not when he learns Torah, that's when he feels the Rambam is sitting right with him, but he says in a difficult time, in a dark time, he feels the presence of Hashem right with him, the comforting hand, so to speak, on his shoulder. Do you have the experience of Hashem in your life? Eino Milvado writes to Hirsch, besides him, there is nothing that has independent existence and being. Without Hashem, nothing can exist. He alone is the absolute being. All other forms of existence are dependent upon him alone. So this knowledge, this revelation, this Torah leads to a spiritual healing. So now that we have uncovered that Moshe Rabbeinu actually had two issues going on. He had a physical impairment and he had a spiritual impairment. Let's go back and look at this. Only at Mount Sinai, when Hashem tore through the firmaments, all the firmaments, and revealed Ein Od Milvado, we have seen what our verse says about it, there's none other besides him. The power of this Ein Od Milvado cured Moshe's speech. The power of the revelation. As long as his soul was not uncovered, Moshe's speech was not fully developed. You know, it's truly unbelievable. I'm sorry, yes and no, that I keep referring back to the election, but obviously it's on everybody's mind, and Be'ezras Hashem, we should, Hashem obviously has a plan, and we should be going to a place of Besoros Tovos and Yeshuos, but what I wanted to say is, oh, look how when a person is not in touch with their soul, look to the extremes of how speech is affected. Look at the candidates, okay? And look at the speech that was going on during the course of the election campaign. When a person does not uncover the soul, they don't have power of speech. I'm not talking about can they physically talk, but they lack all semblance of spirituality at all, of common decency. If you don't uncover the soul within, speech is not fully developed. Only if you allow God into your life with a total revelation of godliness, then Moshe's speech reached the level of real speech. So it's unbelievable. So when he said at the snare, I have a speech impediment, I'm physically impaired, Aral Sfasayim, Elisa said, he wasn't Aral Sfasayim, but on a deeper level, he was also saying, spiritually, I'm lacking in the ability to produce the right words that are needed. Do you want to say something? Okay. One may ask, why then are we able to speak properly? Most people, after all, have not uncovered their souls. Now the question is, are we really speaking properly? Just because we form and fashion words, are we really speaking properly? And it's something we all have to ask ourselves. Most people, after all, have not uncovered their souls. You know, to not speak and not stumble with your speech is not a difficult. Because if you're not speaking, you don't stumble with your speech. But if you're speaking, are you truly producing words that speak properly? Most people have not uncovered their souls. Sadly, writes the Mechaber, we don't understand the truth of this matter. Moshe's soul did not allow him to speak because it wanted his speech to be an expression of the soul. So he's reiterating over and over that when a person has a spiritual blockage, their speech is not speech, and he was not inspired through his shlichus. Oh, I was also thinking something interesting. On Yom HaDin, what do we call Yom HaDin? Coronation Day. Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Avedik speaks about Coronation Day. It's the day when we crown HaMelech. It's not Judgment Day. Judgment Day is Yom Kippur. On Yom HaDin, the king is revealed. The king is anointed, so to speak. The king is coronated. So then you have a direct personal experience with God. And what do we tap into, Davka, on Coronation Day? The Koach of Kol. We talk about Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, but it's specifically tapping into the power of voice, spiritual voice, uncovering your soul on the day when Hashem's majesty, so to speak, is more fully revealed, when he's closer to us than ever before. That's what the Navi says. Karobios Karov. Call Hashem to when he is close. When he is close, you can sense him. When he's close, you can, so to speak, feel him. When he's close, you can uncover your soul with ruchnius and tap into the power of call. And so much of Yom HaDin is based on call, the power of voice. What do we spend so much time doing? We spend more time in shul than out of shul. Sadly, we don't understand the truth of this matter. Moshe's soul did not allow him to speak. It wanted his speech to be an expression of the soul. When the speech was about to emerge from the body, the soul blocked it. Look at this. And did not allow his body to speak. So someone on such a high madriga like Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's not spiritually motivated, there is no speech. You understand why? If speech is produced, not physically but spiritually, and if the soul is not ignited, then you don't have anything to say. The soul won't allow the words to come out, yeah? Are you confused? Question?
I'm just thinking of something.
You want to say it?
I'm trying to formulate it.
I can't hear.
No, she's just trying to formulate it. She's not ready yet.
Not ready. That's what we're talking about. I'm being serious. Rav Salvechik says something very, very beautiful about tefillah. And he says, tefillah is the most powerful tool available to men because we have the ability, so to speak, to influence the Ribono Shel Olam. It's unbelievable what he says. He says that usually Hashem is the absolute object and we are the subject. What does that mean? We're acted upon. Hashem is the mashpia and we're the mushpa. He is the influencer and we are influenced. It makes sense, right? I'm the subject of the king. Who is the king? The object, capital O. Who's the mashpia? Who influences me, hopefully? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Who's the mushpa who allows themselves to be influenced? I allow myself to be influenced. But the Rav Soloveitchik says sometimes, paradoxically, God, the object, Hashem, the mashpia, turns into Hashem, the subject, the mushpa. How? Through one thing. Tefillah.
Right.
And what is that? Kolachav? Call. I know it stems from the heart, but your lips are moving. You're speaking. He says, therefore, tefillah is the most powerful tool available to man because you can change Hashem from object to subject. And all of a sudden, I become the mashpia. And Hashem is the mushpa. So look at the power of tefillah, which I really do think everyone was saying repeatedly about the election. We don't know the right thing to do. What do we have to do?
Just daven.
My husband, we were in Woodmere for Shabbos. We slept over in Woodmere. We had to be in Woodmere for Shabbos. So my husband went Shabbos morning to daven the youngest of Woodmere, the side minion of Shai Shachter, that the minion. And he told me over his Joshua, which was very nice. It was pre-election. It was all about tefillah. Don't look too much into the candidates because A, there's not, he quoted the Kli Yagra. There's not so much to look into. B, we can't figure it out. Anyway, and the whole speech was about using our tefillah. So Soloveitchik says, imagine finite being, lowly man, Afar ve'efer, says Avraham Avinu in next week's parasha. When does he say Anochi Afar ve'efer? When he's davening. I am but dust and ashes, davka when he's davening. And nevertheless, I can become the mashpia, and Kosh Baruch Hu becomes the mushva. So we should never underestimate Kosh Baruch Hu. Someone just sent me something very good. You know, people send pictures around on the internet. And so it was about prayer, and it said, ready? Pray the hardest when it's hardest to pray. Pray the hardest when it's hardest to pray. And it's really very, very beautiful. Sometimes you come to a place where it's very, very difficult. We don't know what to say to Hashem. We don't know always what He wants. Many times we don't know what He wants from us, how to proceed in a place of pain. That's when it's very hard. That's when you have to pray the hardest. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay. Top of page 37. I thought you forgot this.
I ran back.
To where?
To my house.
It's a daycare. Yes. Talk to yourself.
The last paragraph. Moshe's soul didn't allow him to speak.
Because speech emanates from the soul. What we're understanding from this section of this unbelievable sefer, really unbelievable, is that speech is not really physical. Osh. Speech is a spiritual. What am I looking for?
Manifestation.
Wow.
Connection.
Not expression. Connection. Spiritual creation with a physical manifestation. Okay, why am I saying like that? Because Tzaraas, when I talk about Tzaraas by Tzaria Mitzora, oh, but by the way, he's going to speak about it on the next page. We'll see if we get there or not. When we talk about the Mitzora, I'm going to explain Tzaraas. People think it's translated as leprosy, which is exceedingly misleading and absolutely not true. Tzaraas, by the way, it's related to speech. Tzaraas is a spiritual malady with a physical manifestation. So I'm looking for a different word. The malady, speech is a spiritual creation with a physical manifestation. That's why the soul did not allow Moshe to speak. The soul wasn't ready. The soul wasn't inspired. The soul never encountered God. Moshe's soul never encountered God. In fact, how do we know? Ish mitri hitzilanu. What do they say when they go home to their father? And he says, who helped you? By the well. And they say, oh, an Egyptian man. There's an unbelievable medrash. It shows us he didn't know how to speak at that point. There's an unbelievable medrash that says, why was Yosef allowed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael and Moshe was not? They were both godless Jews. I accept that Yosef started for the first 17 years. He was Zochet to be in Eretz Yisrael. He went back for a week to bury his father. But the Medrash says, why was Yosef Zochet to Kfura in Eretz Yisrael and Moshe was not? Because by the incidents with Eshes Potiphar, Yosef is repeatedly described as an Ish Ivri. Ish Ivri Litzachik Banu, she says to the people. They brought a Hebrew to make mockery of us. And what does Rashi say there? Bereishis 39:3, Paraklam, Etes Pasuk Gimel, that he found favor in his master's eyes, and his master saw everything he did was matzliach. And you know what Rashi says? Ready?
Shame Hashem shagur b'piv.
Shame Shamayim shagur b'fiv. Wow. He was spiritually in tune. He spent 17 years learning with the Gadol Dor, Yaakov Avinu, who was his Rebbe Muvhak. So even though he was ripped from his home, his spirit, his neshama was alive. Therefore, Hashem was always in his mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not blaming him. We're looking at the difference. He did not have that experience. Till the snap, he was brought up by Bas Paro. I'm not chas v'sham saying anything disparaging about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're looking at the difference. Therefore, his soul that was not on fire did not allow him to speak.
What about people that can't speak?
Physically? What do you mean they can't speak?
Physically, they can't speak.
So therefore what?
I'm just wondering.
So what's the question I'm saying?
Some people just can't speak. They were born, they can't
You mean that they have a physical, like I can't hear so well? You mean they have a physical disability that prevents them from speaking? But that's a different category. Hashem gave them a certain physical nisayon to deal with in their life. That's not a spiritual malady that it's affecting their speech.
No, I know they're not. If anything, their neshama is even more pure. They said about children, certain children with special needs,
like
Gedolim would stand up for them.
Correct. But that doesn't... But I don't think that's dafka related to Koach HaDibur. Someone who physically can't speak has this physical impairment. They have any sign to deal with. I have a hearing loss. I have any sign to deal with. So has everyone around me who has to deal with me. But that's a different idea. That's not talking about... That's why I brought up the candidates. Because, really, I'm serious. They can speak physically. But because they're so spiritually deficient, their speech is the product... It's animalistic speech. Which, by the way, he's about to say. Okay, I'm not just making... First of all, I'm not making a second. But it's so crass. It's so low. Because there's nothing spiritual. So we really are understanding that speech is a product of the neshama, not the guf. It's revolutionary. It's unbelievable. Mamash Malki, I never thought of it either in regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's unbelievable. It's a spiritual deficit if you can't speak. I'm not talking about someone who has a physical impairment. That's a different nisayon. They're in a different category. For whatever reason, Hashem gave them that nisayon. I don't know.
And that doesn't mean they don't have a soul.
Well, of course.
Hindi, I didn't hear. Hindi, I didn't hear what Hindi says. Hindi, I didn't hear what you said.
No, I just repeated what you said. That doesn't mean they don't have a soul.
Right.
Chas v'shalom.
No, right. I think, but I was wondering if that was...
I'm saying that that's in a completely different category. That can't be brought into this conversation. That's not a speech impediment due to any affliction of the soul.
Right. I'm just wondering how it manifests itself in this.
It doesn't. It doesn't. This is only talking about...
The first 6 minutes, I'll tell it to you afterwards. We started out with Moshe, who had a physical impairment. He said, I can't speak, because he also had a real physical. But then she spoke about that he also had a spiritual lack because he wasn't exposed to...
If you look at his life, he wasn't.
So that, so...
Mamash Hashem appeared to him when he was 80.
That's what she was talking about in the beginning.
Okay.
It's, you know, this goes so far. It's unbelievable. Why wouldn't he nurse from the Egyptian women? They brought, I don't have the shmos on me with Rashi, but it's right in the beginning when he's born, he's floating on the Nile, and the Yalda who's standing there, who's Miriam, says, should I go get a menekes from the wait a second, I want to see if she uses the word Ivri. One second. Does she say, I want to go get a Ivri menekes? Oh, Siva Tomarna Ish Mitzri Hitzilana Miyad HaRoi. He's identified as the Mitzri, I didn't finish the Medrash. So the Medrash says, Yosef was always identifiable as an Ish Ivri. Moshe at this point was identifiable as a Mitzri. So you want to be identified as a Chutz Arz Jew, so the Medrash says, so you're going to remain, it's unbelievable, Medrash. And that's why he wasn't Zohar Chutz in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef identified him as a Hebrew. But I want to see something. What does she say to Bas Paro? Does she use the word... Ah, oh. Wow. Wow. Okay, ready? It's unbelievable. Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, it's unbelievable. Vatiftach, Bas Paro opens the bassinet. Vatir Eyu Esa Yalad, she sees the child. Vihine Nar Bocha, what's wrong?
She said casket instead of basket.
Oh, like casket? Like, yes. Okay. And I heard and I heard bassinet.
Okay, it's fine. It's
talking
fine.
About physical impairments. See, some things are beneficial. V'hine nar bocha. And there's a child crying. By the way, you know what the Baal Turim says? She sees the yalad, and there's a lad crying. So who was it? Who's the nar?
Wasn't it him?
Aaron. Aaron. So all three siblings are there. Yalad, Vatira say yalad Moshe. Hine nar bocha. By the way, bocha also indicates an expression of the voice. It's unbelievable. Vatachmav, she is pity. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Vatomer miyalde ha'ivrimzeh. So Moshe had this dormant ivri light. We know the house was full of light. It says kitov. So Chazal say kitov here, kitov by the light. The house was filled with light. But it wasn't... He at the beginning, he's identified as what? An ivri. But what happened? He loses the chinuch of the Torah home. He's not brought up with that. Salvechik speaks about the different roles between the father and the mother and what they teach the child. So Moshe doesn't have that. He's with his Hebrew mother for a couple of years, and then he goes to the mitzvah. But at the beginning, he's identified as an ivri. So that spark is always within him of an ivri. He's not a mitzvah. But somewhere along the way, the spirituality, because it's not fanned, it's not the flames are not fanned, he can't talk. But it's beautiful. The sister says to Baspar, Ha'elech v'karasi lach isha meinekes min ha'ivrios. Let me call for you a meinekes, a nursemaid, a nurse. From the Hebrew woman. And what does Rashi say there? Who remembers?
I think you do.
So cute. Lefi shahaya asid ledaber im hashchina.
Oh,
this
wow.
is really unbelievable. I just want to say that this goes on and on. This thought about the soul being the source of speech is unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is going to have one of the most purest souls, Lo kam navi b'Yisrael kamosha. There was never a prophet who knew Hashem panim upanim. Ela Devarim Asher Dibir Moshe, who was going to compose the eminent, powerful, emotional book of Devarim, was identified at the beginning of his life as an ivri. Now he loses the inspiration because his environment prevents that from happening until he's 80 when God appears at the snap. But why doesn't he want a nurse from the Egyptians? Asid ledaber imashchina. Asid ledaber. His koach of peh is going to have to talk with Hashem. But what does it represent? If peh really represents the neshama, that it's not just asid ledaber imashchina, but it's asid, my neshama is going to become one, so to speak, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how could this neshama possibly nurse from a mitzvah? So we're learning more and more and more that speech is a manifestation of the spirituality of the neshama, and which is why I reiterated that if we look in society today, you see her so clearly that someone who's not connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not saying with Jewish or not Jewish, who is no soul, how much more so ad kedeichach for a Jewish person, someone who's not connected to the neshama, literally cannot speak in a spiritual aspect. They may be able to speak in the physical mode, but the spiritual mode of speech is absent from that person. And they talk like an animal. I heard one, I don't watch it. I heard one line, maybe it was two lines, of one debate between the two of them. She said something, and right away he says to her, you stupid woman, this is somebody who has no neshama, who's not in tune to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. So how do they talk? Millions of people are like, this is what you say to a person? You don't agree with someone, so what you say, we have to take a strong Mr. Haskell for us. We have to think how we talk to people in our lives. Is it a reflection of my neshama? Or is it only on the level of guf? If my speech remains at the level of guf, there's something lacking in my dveikus to Hashem. I have to take a Mr. Haskell.
Yesterday, I had a very interesting experience. Two similar scenarios, basically at two different jobs I was doing, and I sort of made a mistake, whatever, sort of, in both places. Maybe one wasn't even me, but she accused me of it. Anyway, whatever, and she said to me, you have to, like those words, you have to. Right away, like, I started getting nervous. And then the second place I was at, she said, oh, by the way, you know, this is here because this and this and this and this and whatever. And I was thinking to myself, in the same day, two different experiences, the same type of scenario, totally two different ways of communicating.
Wow. See?
And for me, I'll remember for sure the second place, not to make that same little thing, which wasn't even major, because of how she spoke.
So that's the other thing, then, things when you're speaking, that's the other thing. Because it emanates from the neshama, perhaps, it leaves such a lasting impact on the recipient. We remember the positive things people say to us, absolutely true, and we also remember the negative things people say to us. I remember the times we were hurt. I remember a comment from so many years ago that someone made to me in Brooklyn. It was very, very painful at that point in my life, and I remember exactly what she said. I can't tell you probably anything else that happened that year. And I could tell you what that person said to me. So you're adding a very important insight by saying we remember it's because it emanates from the neshama. So kamayim hapanim lapanim kein lev ha'adam la'adam. Speech emanates from a very deep place. And therefore it makes a very deep impact and impression. Yes?
Also, dvar mishaha yotze me'alev nechnasa me'alev. So that's just further...
Very nice. Oh, Devarim. Devarim hayotzi min halev. That proves that speech emanates from where?
Your heart.
The heart, and not some peripheral level. So it's really unbelievable. These few weeks of this class, the whole Sefer has really been, I really do believe, I know from myself and in the 2 years that we're learning, I hope for others, has really changed our Avodas Hashem. But what we're learning is so enlightening and really like life-changing. And Devarim Hayotzim Milev, speech emanates from a very deep place. And that's why Moshe, on the one hand, he was Arel Sfasayim, but on a much deeper level, his soul was not yet inspired. Hashem just appeared to him. And that is Lo Ish Devarim Anochi. So, and he goes back and he says to Hashem, after Paro didn't listen to me, how will the people listen to me? I need to speak from my heart to get the people to receive it. Wow. Unbelievable. A person can, top of page 37, 1 second please.
Amen.
Thank you. A person can, chas v'shalom, take the power of speech, lower it from its proper level and speak only with the body. And I think we have been illustrating that, giving examples of that, and explaining that this evening. This is, see what we said, this is what he says? This is speech of the body, not of the soul. So there are definitely two different types of speech. And I think we may have said it last time in this class, I'm not sure. But at the moment the man was created, he is called Adam. Vayiyah Adam lenefesh chai. A Targum Onkelos famously says, L'ruach memalala, for a speaking spirit. And man can either be Adam Ed Mele Elyon, or he could be like Adam Adert. But what emerges is that using your Koach HaDibur, not only can you be like either Ed Mele Elyon or Adama, I'm going back to candidates again on purpose. A person can either make himself Ed Mele Elyon. Look how refined he speaks. Look how poetically he speaks. Look how nicely and with Derech Eretz respectfully he speaks. Or you can make yourself be like dirt. Adama, you can, using Koach HaDibur, you make yourself like dirt. But you can also use Koach HaDibur to make somebody else feel like godly, and you can use Koach HaDibur to make someone else feel like dirt. And I think it's almost an expression that you make someone else feel like dirt. Is that an expression or I just made it up?
Yeah.
It is. That's really, Adam is Edmel Elyon and Adam is Adama. That's how low you can bring someone else just by using Koach HaDibur. This is speech of the body and not of the soul. Likewise, we find animals, see, have their own language. Birds communicate also. So, you want to be like an animal, you want to be like a bird, so go ahead and talk like them. But it never says of them, the ruach memalala, he's quoting from Bereishis Perek Beis Pesach Zayin with Targum Onkelos there. Never says nefesh chaya, and Targum Onkelos never says their ruach memalala. So you can't tell me that an animal roaring and a bird chirping is the equivalent of speech which emanates from a very, very deep place in my soul. If so, a person can speak, but his words may be like those of birds, merely empty chattering. And if you remember, we spoke a little while ago, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down something very nice. What is empty chatter and what is meaning? I'm going to apply what we spoke about a little while ago. Remember we said that a string of zeros without a number, as many zeros as you have seven zeros, but you don't have anything in front of it. All you have is zero. You put a one in front of it, the whole situation changes. Now this is an unbelievable thing. So I think we could apply the same principle to Koach HaDibur. If it's just zeros, it's just physical speech. Just empty chattering. You have a whole string of words, but it has no meaning. But if you put the one, of Hashem Echad, and you speak with your neshama, which is a chelek Elokai Mima, then all of a sudden that string of zeros, which means zero, adds up to a whole lot.
Right.
You want to say something?
No, that's great. I like that scenario.
It has a tremendous impact on our lives. You understand, when we bring examples, when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, and when we talk about, I don't want to say in the same sentence, but we talk about today's political goings on, the point is, for me, and I really am working on it in my own personal life, especially in the home where it can be, you know, with kids who don't necessarily always listen the first time, to remind myself in the moment, this is how Hashem wants it. And if this is how Hashem wants it, it really does change your dibur and the quality of speech. If this is how Hashem wants it, this is speech of the body, not of the soul. Likewise, I said that already. In other words, a person might learn Torah. Look what he says. You could learn Torah. You can speak. You could perform mitzvahs and speak. But one kind of speak awakens the soul, while the other is just noise and chatter. So this is very impactful. It means you could be doing mitzvahs, and it means you could be learning Torah, but you're still not tapping into the depth of your neshama. And I would categorize that perhaps as mitzvahs anashim melumda. If you're learning Torah, but it's by rote, and there's no impact, and there's no feeling, and you're doing mitzvahs, and you're davening. Did I say it over in this class? I think, I don't know if I did or not, that Steve Savitsky, if anybody wants to do partners in Torah, please give me your name and phone number. But what he said to somebody after Minyan, one of the things he told me, he said to somebody, he said he was at the Engadzo of Woodmere one morning for a very, very early minyan, and there was a person there, a younger person who ran in, they davened, and he said to the guy after minyan, so do you feel different now? After Shachas. So the guy says, what do you mean, do I feel different? I don't feel different. So he said to me, could you imagine, we spend our time davening, we spend our time talking to Hashem, and you don't feel any different before the conversation, I'm putting that in quotes, sicha, is... We're coming up to Parshas Chayisar very soon. Sicha is Lashon Tefillah. You don't feel any different after the conversation and the communion and the Tefillah of Hashem and the Kolach HaDibra that you felt before? So what are we adding on? If you don't feel different, then what does it mean? The Tefillah is coming from your guf and not from your neshama. And then you can learn Torah, and you can speak, you can perform mitzvahs and speak, but that one kind of speech awakens the soul, it's not that kind of speech, the other is just noise and chatter. Let's do one more sentence. He may lack a real connection to Torah, and his inner divine soul, which can awaken the connection to Hashem. So when it comes to speech, speech of call, there's the call of Tefillah, we talk to Hashem. The call of Torah, Hashem talks to us. And then there's unfortunately the speech of Shtus, when we move away from Hashem, Rechmanu Litzlan, and we're definitely not tapping into the koach of our neshama. And it can affect all three levels. We can talk to ourselves in a manner of Shtus, Bein Adam Atzma. We could talk to other people in such a manner. And ultimately, it seems that if we talk to Hashem without putting in the thought, then that too is empty chatter. And all you have is a string of zeros because it's not emanating from the place of the soul. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha to continue. Recham Avakal B'nei Mini Kolech Mibechi. In the end of days, her voice will turn from the voice of tears to Azimal Yitzchak Pinu, the voice of laughter, should be immediate in our days. Amen v'amen. Zchusa Yageni Leidu, Zchusa Tageni Leidu. Thank you, ladies.